CliffCentral.com.
Oh, yeah. Here's the great Pumi Mashiko sitting right opposite me. Hello, Pums.
Hello, Bebe.
How are you? How's your Thursday?
What a mad rush this morning.
Yes, sis. Pumi and I arrived before James, who'd overslept, and then we couldn't find the key. Sorry, we were like 2 minutes late. Sorry. We got here though.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, we made it happen.
Mara, look at us.
And we are expecting to have quite a lot to do in the show this morning. There's a lot happening. Got a burning platform a bit later on with Kenneth Meshware from the ACDP.
What else is new? A lot happening. What else is new?
Well, I don't know if you've seen what's been going on in Itekwini. I know you haven't had power since when?
Since 4 p.m. yesterday. Still no power.
So what did you do for supper?
Oh no,
you have plans?
I've got backup.
What do you do?
I've got a gas stove.
Ah, very smart.
So I can cook.
Okay.
I have I've got a gas stove.
Gas stove. So, okay, that was a very unnecessarily complicated explanation for your gas stove.
It's just...
I do not have a gas stove, so I rely on delivery. But I suddenly realized yesterday how expensive this gets if you do it like twice in a week. And I suddenly thought, okay, well, now I know where some of my non-existent money is going. Right?
You know who else has just realized how expensive takeout is? Jan Kanego.
Oh, right. Did he?
He's just...
got no more money.
Yeah, because I don't know what's happening. Then there's like, because they get... I see on the app when he asks for Uber Eats.
Mm.
And he can see how that thing is adding up.
I'm telling you.
Because they've had lots of like choir practice, and so he misses
meals.
Supper. He misses supper, or whatever. I don't know what he misses, but whatever it is. But point is,
well,
lesson learned.
If you do it like once a month, it's fine. But if you are going to rely on that more than that, you end up, it costs you a lot.
But you know, I've been not eating meat because of the...
Yes, you've been on, what is it, Lent? You've decided to give up meat, yeah?
Yeah, but you, and that requires you to prepare. That requires you to prepare your meals, be well, because what I then realized is we don't have a lot of vegetarian options. We don't.
In the shops or?
No, takeout.
Oh, takeout.
So you're working late, mm-hmm. then you just drive home, you go past a McDonald's or past a KFC or whatever. We don't have a lot of...
No, we don't.
Options.
And I mean, my go-to, I have to, and to give him credit, because we often talk about this stuff, my go-to for anything like healthy is probably Kauai.
Mm.
You know, and then I'll get a wrap with like some sort of veggie thing in it.
Yeah.
That's good. Mm. That does me in. I'm fine.
Yeah. So
I'm all right with that.
The good news is because I am in a very central place, because our office is in Rosebank, there's lots of like
options,
food things, but it closes early and it's
so always... Louis says, just to confirm, Pumi has a gas stove.
la la la, Louis. We've already said, so I have two disclaimers this morning if I'm
okay.
A little bit slow. The
Go
first
on.
One is I've been up since about 2:45. It was too hot.
It was so warm last night. Jesus. But you'll be regretting that. You'll be waiting for summer again in a couple of weeks' time. You know how quickly winter dawns? I saw again a video of a friend of mine from Canada. He was walking his baby, pushing his baby in a pram. In the snow. And I thought, you poor son of a bitch. Because it's March, which means... should start thawing out there. It shouldn't be that cold. But
yeah.
Then it is Canada.
But the weather app says today is going to be 6 degrees. Thank you, Brother James.
Very good.
The weather app says today is going to be 6 degrees cooler than yesterday. So where? But I
like
don't
that.
Care what.
What's
I don't
your...
care what anybody says. Johannesburg, has got the best weather in the world.
So you know how,
even when it's cold.
I know that's true, right? Because I was in Cape Town yesterday and flew back, and when we got off the plane, there was like this warm thing that happened. Cape Town is already starting to develop a little bit of a chilly edge at night.
Bite.
Yeah, at night you don't want to be you don't want to be around without like long sleeves.
Bona.
It's starting.
Johannesburg, even in deep winter, you can still be outside and there's blue sky and there's the sun.
All right, but
and
you know
on
what
a good day, you can be in the t-shirt.
You know what they say? They say boring people talk about the weather, so let's not be a fool for that. I want to ask you, though, when you sleep, what is your ideal temperature? Because I've heard it's all nonsense. Everybody should be able to sleep at virtually any temperature. If your body's tired, you should go to sleep. But
no.
I do have a friend, and she cannot sleep except at fridge temperatures. It's got to be like sub 18 degrees Celsius, otherwise she can't sleep.
It does have to be cool. Have to be cool in the room. But I am one of those people that no matter how hot it is, I need a little bit of a something, like a sheet or a little blankie or something. Mm-hmm. I can't sleep without a covering, no matter how hot it is. I need to sleep with the covering. But it needs to be cool. It needs to be like the temperature needs to be down.
I see Mapelo saying, I've never had load shedding for days. Thanks to the municipality strike, small wins, but some people have had power since have not had power since Thursday.
No ways.
Listen, this Etekwini strike.
Etekwini nonsense.
Oof, it's nonsense. Bad. Yeah, it's not a strike. It's like sabotage and vandalism of the most disgusting kind. I mean, it just looks like an absolute disaster in Etekwini at the moment. And apparently the mayor is just knee deep and doesn't know what to do. Council's completely useless. MK party's involved. EFF are involved. It's just like, it's total chaos. And now, and invariably when this starts happening, you see people comparing, right? So you have them saying like, this is Durban 5 years ago. This is Durban 10 years ago. This is Durban 15 years ago. And you see Durban has declined steadily since, I wouldn't say that, I think the 90s, it was still cool. I think it was still fine there in the 90s. In fact, there was a lot of improvement. I mean, things, they've got that beautiful beachfront and promenade, which I think is...
Even not so long ago.
Even near Ushaga Marine World, there was some nice stuff that was going on there.
5 years ago.
You know,
five years ago.
But you have seen a really terrible decline now. And I just feel for people who've invested their life and their savings and their businesses, and they've put their entire existence into a place like that. And the whole place is just going downhill at a rate of knots.
And you see, this is how you know when nobody is paying attention. There's no one at the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one driving. There's not at the municipal level, not at the national level, certainly not in the governing party level. Because that's where the wheels come off. There's nobody kind of holding people accountable. There's no grown-ups. There's no grown-ups in the room.
But you would think in an election year they'd get their act together. But they obviously are so...
Yay.
No, they're so useless and thin on the ground and incompetent that they can't even in an election year pull themselves together. So they're relying on...
I think they're not...
They're relying on what?
Concentrating.
So you think that they're just... waiting to see what happens.
I don't think they're waiting to see what happens. I think they're concentrating on all the wrong things.
Well, it is the dystopian future playing out, says Huge Reaction, with a very positive spin on this morning. I saw he started the show by saying, what's so good about it, when I said good morning? So clearly having a bit of a rough day there, Hugh, but it's okay. We all have those. Honorable Dipsy says we are on day two of zero water in the Wusrand. That's the West Rand. People who don't know. Yeah, listen. This idea, and I said to Pumi, it's like people are just getting beyond the point of being like beside themselves with rage. It's now got to the stage where people are actually in that frightening, I might just lash out at any moment stage, which is beyond
is lashing out though.
Where you Yeah.
Have you noticed how people have short fuses everywhere?
everywhere. Traffic.
People have short fuses in the traffic, in the shops, in the everybody is just tense. A little bit tense and on edge.
And it's not ordinary people's fault. I mean, I see now that the petrol price is going to go up some more.
I will.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that today's news?
Well, no. But here's the whole thing. So we're feeling the pinch at the pump. They put up the petrol price hugely over the last decade, right? So in 2014, a liter of petrol cost you 10 Rand. Today it's 20 Rand. It's doubled. I mean, my maths is great, right? That's 100% increase. The cost of DSTV has gone up significantly. In 2014, the cheapest DSTV package cost 100 Rand a month. Today it's 200 a month. So that's another 100% increase. In 2014, a Big Mac cost you 20 Rand.
Ooh, I went to McDonald's with the kids.
Yeah,
with Zotile, my niece, and Kanejo on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
I was taken aback.
Prices.
I was taken aback. I did not. Because you don't see, you don't think it's...
And you don't pay attention to those little increments. But if you look at over 10 years, which is why I'm doing this exercise. So in 2014, it cost you 20 Rand. Now it's 30 Rand, which is a 50% increase. It's important to note these price increases are not as severe when taking inflation into account. When adjusted for inflation, the price of petrol has actually only increased by around 20% over the past decade. Overall, the cost of living...
So it did go up. You see... Sandile here in the comments is saying that the petrol price did go up at
midnight. Yeah, it did. It went up yesterday.
Guys.
But we talked about that. I'm looking at like over 10 years because that's when you see it.
I was completely distracted though yesterday. Completely distracted by all of the goings on social media.
Like what?
Like, listen, yesterday.
What's been happening? Fill me in. I was so busy yesterday. I didn't even touch sides. I literally got home. 7 o'clock and I went to bed.
Yeah, because you were in Cape Town.
Anyway, what did I miss?
You missed, there's a tour. Do they still call it a tour now
sure.
that it's X?
Sure, we can call it a tour.
Between Mashaba and Malema.
Oh, God.
Yep. It's going down. There was, for a day and a half, there's been this apology letter by Naledi Chira. You know about that, right? Mm. So she came out swinging kind of at the end of the day 2 days ago. And yesterday she was in a full-on tour with Tessa Dwims from Rivonia Circle.
Right.
Which was shocking to say the least. All the people who were standing up for her, because we all thought that letter was a little bit of a blink twice if you're in trouble. Are you being held against your will? Right? We all did. It wasn't just Tessa. And then, kind of at about 7 p.m. last night, Julius Malema tweeted basically saying Naledi was out of line. And if we have to choose between an individual and our party, and the movement, we will choose the movement. So a very public, like, bitch slap for Naledi after she was...
So what's the story there? I mean...
Fighting everybody about everyone getting it wrong and all the people that see it as a cry for help.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of tweets yesterday, during the day, though, about how in the EFF, basically if you're a member of the EFF, they can tell you what to do with any income you have. Like, if you're a member of parliament or whatever, the party bosses get first dibs at your money.
I don't know if that's completely right, but it's I do know that they are a bit of a gulag.
Yeah, it is.
I know that they have a whole set of stuff. Like you have to buy a van because you must be available to help people in the community. You know, I don't know what a van does, but with a van.
Yeah, well, more people you can fit in. Right?
If you have to, they also have to give a portion of their salary back to the party as part of the running costs of the party.
Good old communism going on there. Tax right.
Back to the party. And what is the third thing? There is a third thing that I'm not remembering right now. So I don't know if they have first dibs.
Well, but it sounds to me like
possibly might.
You don't get to do what you want to do if you're a member of that party. You are, everything is subject to the party.
Yeah.
So it's like good old you know, 1943 Stalin. That's what it is.
At least they're
1953, 19, even up to the 60s in Soviet Russia. They've learned from their the losing side in the Cold War. They always choose the losers.
At least they are consistent.
Yeah, but okay. So if you work for the EFF, if you're on the party list and you're an MP, they'll tell you what car to buy. They'll tell you what to do with a certain proportion of your, quite big proportion of your salary. And there are a lot of other rules too.
But of course, all very I'm much saying, like Animal Farm.
Yes, some are more equal than others. Yeah, so I mean, that doesn't apply to like Floyd and Julius and Buiseni. They can buy. So someone pointed out that Julius is wearing a jacket the other day, which costs like 50,000 rand or something.
Oh, I'm always,
did you see that?
I did not see that, but I'm always astounded at how people know these things. How they'll just say, you know, those moccasins.
They cost this.
They cost, and I'm like, how do you know this?
What boggles my mind, right, is that if people are going to behave like this, when this is the control they have over their own party, this gives you a glimpse of what they would be like if they were in charge of the country or even a municipality. They would impose these rules on all of us and think that we would all be very happy to accept them. So this is the kind of world. And again, like, I try not to look at the comments on Twitter because I see, I mean,
but that's where all the fun is.
I don't know so much, hey. Like, often with political stuff, I'll see some of the comments. First of all, there is not a literate person on X anymore. You can complete a full sentence. In the comments. I'm not talking about people who post stuff. I'm talking about people who reply to posts.
I post nothing. I just watch.
Honestly, and you go in there, it's just depressing. You think, wow, our education system really is shit.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna pull comments now because I don't have like any interest in scrolling through just mindless stuff. Believe me, it's puerile. It's like, yes, sis, these are the people who are participating in conversation around politics. I'm like, they shouldn't even be participating in conversation, full stop.
Oh.
They should pick up a book or two, but that's besides the point. If a party runs itself on the basis that we are hearing the EFF does.
So this is the thing that I think for a lot of people, when we saw the letter that Naledi put out, which, you know, on the surface of it, it sounds like a good thing, right? She didn't come to whatever. She wasn't there on the day of the budget.
Yeah.
And the party felt that as a public representative, you must be accountable to the public as to why you're not showing up for work. Great, right? On the surface, this sounds sounds like a good thing. People must be held accountable.
Sure.
Showing up to
especially
work.
Politicians.
Showing up to work is the bare minimum.
Absolutely.
But then when we read what was in it, it kept getting more and more bizarre. You know, it was like, okay, so you didn't show up to the non-hybrid part, but you were at the hybrid part. This, you told the wrong person who didn't tell the right person on your behalf.
Mm.
You have a four-month-old baby and they were sick and this is why you weren't there and this is now why you are having to apologize, okay? You didn't take your maternity leave. You left late. You came back early. Mm. You're now sending your child off to go stay with the grandmother so that you can. Now you have to buy gazebos. Like, it was so many things. And every time we're just like, what? Please, what?
Yeah.
Right? The Workers' Party treats its workers like this.
Mm-hmm.
This was all of the stuff that we were all kind of like going through. And then to see the way that everybody responded to it and all the EFF people, because, you know, there's an EFF line, right? So the EFF people follow the line. So, No, well done. Apology accepted. And all the people who were kind of going, but this this doesn't look right. This doesn't look right. This doesn't sound right. This can't be the way that you want to treat people within your party. And if this is how you treat people within your party, good God, what are we in for when you are, right? And then the backlash of the bots to those people. How dare you come here and tell us how to run our party?
When you say bots, you actually mean people, but they behave like bots.
I don't know. I never know if these are real people because some of those comments, Gareth, I'm just like, are you for real right now? Are you a real person thinking this?
Yes.
And then Naledi came on and she seems to have also done a bit of a backflip that says, maybe what I, you know, now she's kind of backtracking and fighting everybody about everything that's been said. And then
it's like we're getting a little insight. Okay. So what we're getting to do is we're getting to see up the dress of the EFF, and it's not a pretty sight. It's really not an attractive sight at all. It's got to be a warning shot across the bows to anyone who would vote for them. And I very much doubt that many people in our audience, of course, I'm supposing, but there might be some EFF supporters who listen to us. You never know.
I think they do.
I think they do.
Because I mean, I have a pretty good gauge of who's listening because I get quite a lot of backlash.
Oh, you do?
For about a day and a half after every show. After every show.
Okay, but you've the weirdest thing about Pumi, right, is like you're just a lightning rod for all kinds of anger. For some reason, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because you're opinionated because you don't take nonsense from politicians.
People don't like my laugh. People didn't like my afro all last the reasons, week. That's why I'm wearing a duke.
All the reasons I want you on the show seem to be all the reasons that someone has a problem with you. So when Pumi criticizes the ANC, then people attack her. When she criticizes the DA, people attack her. When she criticizes the EFF, people attack her. When she goes after Herman Mashaba last week, which is your job.
I think people must understand this is not a going after of anyone. It's a simply an inquiring mind. I'm just quite interested.
In fact, if you compare Pumi's questions across like the last 4 or 5 weeks of political leaders, you almost ask them all very fair questions like, what are your top three priorities? And they get a chance to answer you.
I'm interested, guys.
Right.
But for a day and a half. So I can tell you for free, there are lots of EFF people listening to this show. There are lots of, who else? There are lots of Patriotic Alliance people who listen to the show. Mm. Everybody listens to this show, guys.
Yeah, I think we've got a nice mix. That's
just
why
subscribe and like.
And subscribe and like. But at the same time, and we're not going to ask you to vote for us in any election, so the least you can do. But we're trying to bring you all the different people and let you choose whoever you think is the best. But I don't think people are prepared to look at the detail here. And when something like this comes out, it lets you know what's actually happening. And this is about the quality of the character of the people who want to lead you.
So also today, there's a big press conference outside the IEC offices. Busa, Musi Maimane, and his top brass.
He's failed to get enough signatures.
What makes you think that? I don't understand what's wrong with you people. I don't understand why. The way, this is the other thing that kept me awake, just reading all of the comments of all the people thinking that the man's going to be rolling over. He's not. He's not going to roll over. He's going to come out there. He's going to tell you who his premier candidates are. Why, if he was indeed going to kind of capitulate, if he was, why would he have a press conference? Why wouldn't he not just send a note like Roger Jardine did?
Because it's become a thing. Nikki Haley dropped out of the presidential race yesterday in New York, right? She announced that she's no longer going to be running for president. And she stopped short of throwing her support behind Donald Trump and said he must earn our support. But he'll probably make her a VP pick anyway. That's probably what's going to happen.
I think she might have to slug it out with Vivek.
Probably.
I think he thinks he's going to be the VP pick. I don't think he's going to be, but I think that's why he dropped out so early and was so like magnanimous about it.
I think so. And isn't this an interesting situation that we've got in the US? The party that the Democrats assure us is so full of racism is choosing a VP, and we're just speculating here, between two people of immigrant Asian American origin. It's fantastic. Don't tell me that the world isn't improving. Don't call America a racist country. Right? Already had their black president. They'll probably have more in the future. Got some candidates lining up behind the Republican candidate as vice president. People of color, in inverted commas. I hate that terminology. And we think that America's, you know, deeply, deeply imbued with all kinds of very bigoted ideas and backwards. Oh, come on, do me a favor. Brian says, Pumi is so smart and cool. See, Pums, there are people who appreciate you. I like that radio on your bookshelf.
These are our friends.
It's that on your bookshelf, Pums.
Ta-da! these are our friends.
Refilwe, I admire her. The inquisitiveness in her opens our eyes on politics. Yes, I agree with that.
I am very excited for tomorrow because tomorrow is the deadline. You know this, four? Right? Tomorrow is the deadline for all the signatures.
Okay, so how many do they need now? Because they've changed the rules.
I will tell you, because it's actually a lot of, it's very different per province, per this. Let me see if I can find it. And very sad, you know who did drop out is the Cape Independent.
Ah, well, they never had a hope in hell anyway, did they?
I don't know. They didn't get enough signatures. They only got 200 of the 7,000 that they need.
Let me tell you, if you want to secede from the Republic, you're going to need more than 200 signatures. It's a bit of a damp squib. That puts
okay,
paid.
Okay, so here's the number.
That puts paid to any of those people who've been saying, yeah, Cape Independence is a real thing. Remember we spoke to that dude last year?
So this
Phil Craig.
Roman said, yeah, it was like Cape Independence.
Yeah, Roman. Like, yeah, how's that going for you guys?
So here's the number. This is what it looks like. So to contest for seats for the National Assembly,
yes,
you in the Eastern Cape, you need 11,656 signatures.
Is that because they're less literate in the Eastern Cape and not enough people can sign their names?
No, these numbers, Gareth, man. Gareth, don't be that person. These numbers are linked to the last voter's roll. So okay. Voter's roll.
Go on.
In the Free States, you need 11,340 signatures.
Mm-hmm.
In Gauteng, you need 13,890 signatures.
All right.
In KwaZulu-Natal, you need 13,040. In Limpopo, you need 11,329.
Mm-hmm.
Mpumalanga, 11,924. Northern Cape, 10,271. Northwest, 10,000. I hope somebody is sitting here with the calculator.
Well, you want me to work out the average?
No, not the average, the total number. So starting again, 11,656.
Yes, all right.
11,330.
Mm-hmm.
13,890.
Mm-hmm.
13 and 40, so 040, 11329, 11924, 10271, 10652, that's Northwest, and Western Cape, 13201. So these are the numbers.
All right, so if you want to take part in the national election.
National elections, 107,293.
Okay, so you need over 107,000 signatures. If you want to participate nationally,
there's more.
Oh.
Because if you also want to print your candidates.
Don't South Africans love signing forms?
We'll sign forms,
will we?
Do they?
I think we do. I don't think we know. I think let's go for it.
And this is where the 7,176 is what you need to be on the provincial ballot in the Western Cape.
All right.
Which is the most. No, it's not the most. Gauteng is the most. It's 8,756 to be on the provincial ballot. So if you want to put up a premier candidate, if you want to put up people for the legislature, also the party list.
Yes, are they out yet?
List.
Are they out?
The deadline is tomorrow.
Oh, then we'll have something to talk about there, because that's going to be exciting, right?
What? We'll
see who's who on the... No, no, because that tells you who really wields power in the parties.
Who is actually...
So guess who? I discovered that Gayton McKenzie is not number one on the party list in the Patriotic Alliance.
Well, but he is the premier candidate for the Western Cape.
But he's not number one on the party list.
Who is?
I'll tell you now, I've never heard of this guy before.
That's because what people... Before Gayton, I think very few people actually knew about the Patriotic
His name Alliance. Is Charles Cillier.
Charles
Cillier. That's the number one on the Patriotic Alliance's list. Well, as far as the last list went. But it wasn't Gayton. So sometimes you see the list and you go, wow, that guy's up there at number three. And then you realize he has much more influence than you thought. So this is why the party lists matter, right? Because we... Okay, so for people who don't know, I'm going to be very, very basic. For those of you who do, I'm sorry, this is maybe a bit...
just go with us. Go with us.
A bit patronizing. Yeah. So here it is. Each party is required to submit a list for as long as they believe they will get places. So if the list is 1,000 people, that's because you believe you will be placing 1,000 people in important positions across the country. From President of the Republic, right the way through to Premier of this... Councillor here, wherever you may be, right? You've got basically everyone who works for the party who's officially nominated to a place on that list could be put into a position somewhere in government. And they then will arrange that list in order of how much weight, power,
in order of importance,
how big your constituency is, how much influence you wield, how much money you bring
in order of importance.
And each party has their own mechanism for working on this. So it'll also give you insight into how the party regards those people, right?
Absolutely.
So that's interesting.
And also, because there are only 400 seats in the National Assembly,
right?
It also tells you who is most likely going to be in there, who's going to make it to parliament. It is all quite wonderful and fascinating.
So the Northern Cape can't need more than 200 if we're doing it by population, so slippery pickle. Maybe they
guys,
can succeed.
Guys, but don't be rude.
There are only 200 people in the Northern Cape, right?
Not
that many
rude.
People. Hadmin says, be careful, Gareth can't do maths. It won't end well. Yeah, but listen, I used my
calculator.
I mean, give me a chance. Oh, for me, look what I did. I dropped my phone yesterday.
Yo.
Look, it's cracked.
You know, I was telling somebody about how much your phone gives me anxiety because Gareth is the only person I know who does not have a protector for his phone. No protector for your phone. And he's so tall. So his phone's got a far...
The gravity will, the gravity
got a
will
long
get me.
Distance to fall.
It'll get me eventually. So I think the lists that I'm most interested in, just to go back to that for a second, are ANC, because we want to see who's really, you know.
So on Sunday, we did wake up to
the
Sunday papers.
One.
On Sunday, we did wake up to the Sunday papers telling us that the Integrity
Committee
in the ANC has come back with the people who should not be on the list.
The ANC's Integrity Committee, who pays attention to them?
You know who should not be on the list. And it will be interesting to see. There are 100 names on the list that says these people should not be. Everyone from Zweli Mkhize.
Let me tell you, if the ANC, this is the funniest thing, right? If the ANC's Integrity Committee is saying that you shouldn't be on a list, that means you should have been in jail 10 years ago.
But you know who's not on the list that says Paul Mashatile?
Deputy president.
He has survived the Integrity Commission's list.
Amazing.
Gwede Mantashe has survived.
Of course, because he's squeaky clean. We know that.
Enoch Godongwane.
Okay.
Has survived.
Okay. Well, I'm not surprised by that. You think he's rotten to the core?
What are you talking about? The man, do you remember the smaller nyana skeleton of missing money from a, do you not know this about
what?
Missing money
no.
from a union?
Oh, I mean, you're nitpicking. In the ANC, this is small fry.
When,
little bit of, what, a little bit of missing union money? You know, Godongwana is like basically squeaky clean compared to everyone else if that's all he took.
Come on.
You're very unfair. You know, you expect the ANC to be better than all the other humans on earth. They're not gods, Pumi. Your standards are too high.
All I'm saying is there's a lot of reading that we're going to have to do this weekend. This weekend is going to be very, very interesting. Right. Also, will the MK get the requisite number of signatures?
Yes, again, because how many people in the NMK actually have a signature?
Will Duduzane and his...
All change makers.
All game changers.
Game changer, whatever it's
game
called.
Game changing, Baba. Game changing.
Game changing. I saw a stupid video of him yesterday. In fact, it came to me this morning while I was waking up. Now, what a horrible, rude awakening that is to have someone send you a video of Duduzane talking about like how cannabis should be a major... Like he's talking about what we spoke about 10 years ago. It's like he's just woken up to some of these things. He was so busy embezzling money in Dubai that he hasn't been paying any attention to the South African economy. So there's this video of him with his cap on backwards and an all Game Changers shirt on. And he's saying, oh, we must definitely find a way to incorporate.
His cap is what?
The back, well, it's backwards. Bass backwards. And he's saying, we must find a way to use this plant as a cash crop in the Eastern Cape. And we're like, but that's already happening, dude. And he's talking about the value of cannabis oil, all this sort of shit. And I'm like, what are you, like, did you just wake up from 2014? Because that was something we already were, it was on the go. There are people who are already like tycoons and kingpins in that arena, growing weed on a massive scale. You got to be kidding me. He's just realized this now?
What not?
Kind
of, you know, he was busy before.
What? Max Sony says he's a dumbass. He's been high for the last 10 years.
He was busy before. He was.
You went for lunch somewhere interesting.
Very cool. Very cool. Very beautiful place.
Yeah. Some fancy high society place?
No, it's not a fancy high society place.
I don't know where you go. For all I know, you are mixing with high society. How do I know this?
No high society.
You're very fancy. You know a lot of people.
No high society
really?
For me. No.
Okay.
But, you know, can I tell you, it was so odd. I haven't been out to lunch at that kind of time in a very, very, very long time. So I was quite intrigued to see so many young couples, young kind of 30s,
okay,
right? Which, of course, 30s, that's what you do. You go out on dates and all sorts of things.
What?
Not a word. And I like watching people.
Mm-hmm.
Not a word at least 5 tables with couples, young couples.
Yeah.
They weren't talking to each other.
On their phones.
On their phones.
Oh my God, it drives me mad.
The one girl was actually like posing with her phone like the whole time.
Oh, I hate that so much.
And I was like, I can't stand what is that. Happening here? I had so many questions. I actually wanted to talk to one of them, one of the couples, and I thought maybe they don't know how to talk, but they have phones, so.
Here's the problem is that, again, people think it's really easy to communicate. I mean, you're in the communications business.
What?
Okay? So people go, oh, well, how can that be a business? Everyone knows how to communicate. I think we've become worse at saying what we mean and meaning what we say.
I...
Because if couples whose express purpose of going out together is to spend time together.
Or to at least get to know each other.
Interact meaningfully. And they're busy on their phones. We are not able to do what we are programmed to do. This is very bad for the future of humanity.
It was.
Yes,
it really, it was so stark. Because they really were. And they're like funky. They're funky young people. And I was just like, whoa. Like quite Zhuzh. And, on a Wednesday, right?
So they were taking pictures of themselves and
taking
their food.
Pictures of the food, yeah. Taking pictures of themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're texting or they're just scrolling on social media, but not talking to each other.
Yeah, they are busy preparing their content for strangers. And yet the person that they supposedly want to spend time with.
It was bizarre.
And for the guys, if the, you know, it's not just the girls, it's the guys as well who are just as vacuous as this. But if you're a guy and you're paying for lunch and the girl sits there on her phone the whole time and takes pictures of herself and the food, dump her immediately.
It was
get
bizarre.
Rid of her. Get rid of her. Do not spend a single cent on lunch. Tell her terribly sorry. He has a small bottle of mineral water. Go on your way. You do not need to waste money on these machoshas.
I win.
No, really. That's all it is. And same goes for girls. If you're sitting at a table and the guy is busy on his phone the whole time, get up and leave. There is no reason. There's no unbelievably complex, nuanced, indirect, you don't have to read anything into this. Just get up and go.
It was
you
bizarre.
Lose nothing.
It was bizarre. It really was.
And these, by the way, are the people who clearly have money to dress up and go out.
Also,
in an economy like ours, that's if you're lucky, that's the top 5% of the population.
Baba,
on a Wednesday.
It was a Wednesday afternoon. It was Wednesday lunchtime.
Yes.
I was absolutely blown away. I'm like, who are these people?
Yeah.
Who are these people? Where do they come from? How do they have this money? Because they're obviously not at work. I was just...
Leisure. They're at leisure.
How?
Parents' money.
They're a bit older than parents' money. They're a bit older than parents' money.
Sheltered employment.
I have no idea. But sheltered employment... Like we've learned from Naledi's letter, you still have to show up. You still have to show up for work. But it was just, it was such a bizarre thing. It reminded me of a friend of mine years ago after he got divorced and started dating again. And he was like, I think he went on a couple of like dinner dates and then he decided, no, he's not going on dinner dates anymore. What he's going to do is he's going to go on a coffee date. That way.
Yes.
It's nice
quickly.
And short.
Yeah.
It costs you a fraction of the price. And you can make your mind up quickly.
Listen, I want to say that I have enormous sympathy for young people who are looking for a relationship. And they want to have someone in their life they can really care about. There are people who need a relationship. They're relationship people. And they're better in a relationship. I've got friends like that. They're genuinely more balanced, more sensible.
Sensible.
They're more grounded when they're in a relationship, right? I've got guy and girlfriends who are just like they're just happier people when they're in a relationship.
Oh, wow.
And I admire that. I make no distinction in my mind between people who prefer to be single and people who prefer to be in a relationship. They're the same value to me. Not one of those people who's single and then I don't like people in a relationship because that's just jealousy.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of those people who, when I'm in a relationship, I look down on the single people. I'm absolutely objective about this and I have been throughout. I'll bring witnesses. But if you are trying to be in a relationship in 2024,
yay.
It's slim pickings.
Yay.
The chances of meeting someone really valuable who you want to invest time and energy and effort into, approaching zero. It is tough out there, people. And if you want to actually marry someone and have children with them, the stakes are high. I feel for people because if this is what's going on, these are people who have the means that you're talking about at this lunch place. These are people who are in a social circle where there is time for social circle stuff. And they're fucking it up on their phones.
I'm telling you now, it was.
It's demoralizing, right?
It really was bizarre.
Mm.
I mean, I could, there was one table that had like four girls. I can see how those girls are, you know, sound like it's all, I don't know. But these were, I was just like, oof, this is going to be a long life, y'all. It's going to be a long life.
Listen, I've just the corollary to that is I've seen older people who clearly have been married a long time and who now hate each other. I've seen them on their phones or not talking to each other. I mean, before the period of phones, because I also observe people, it's a fun exercise to do. Mapelo says in the comments, what he likes to do is he likes to look at people and try to like make up the story of what
the, what's the backstory.
Right. So, and then it's a fun game you can play if you're either sitting on your own or you're with someone else. And you're like, look at that table there. What do you think the story is there? Do you think she's being paid to be here? Do you think that he's a loser socially? You know, he's got no clout. The interesting thing about that observation is that even before phones came along, because a phone is a convenient way for people to look like they're not lonely and alone. So you'll see people always whip out their phone if they arrive early at a party or they're wandering around waiting for somebody. The first thing, the reflex is to grab the phone so that you're not alone. You've got a digital friend, which is so sad. But before phones came along, people still did this. So it's not just a phone thing. That's bad and it's very embarrassing, but it's not just phones. Because I remember seeing at restaurants like in the early 90s, right? So we're talking when I was still at school, you would see couples and they'd sit at a restaurant and they'd look, they wouldn't even look into each other's eyes. They'd kind of look up, mutter something and carry on eating. They were there expressly to eat. They were not there to be friends. They were not there to share their stories of how the day went, what they were up to. So this happened long before phones. There are still people like that.
Wow.
And they're all over the place. So Gail Force says, I have a gorgeous friend. She's a female. She moved from Joburg to Cape Town to meet a decent guy. She's still 45 and single. I feel for her.
She moved to Cape Town to meet a decent guy. I don't know if Cape Town has this. The one thing I think about in Joburg, which other cities in the world, other cities I've been to in the world have, is they have a nightlife, right? There are places where you can go to where there's a bar, there's a bar, there's music, it's not too loud, and you can meet a person, right? People come after work or whatever, there are places like that. Joburg, kind of not so much, you know? It's either a full-on club or it's like a sit-down restaurant, or it's a takeaway place.
I don't think you can blame it on venues. There are lots of places that are trying to entertain these bored people. They're there. There are options.
Yeah, but what I mean about that is that there is also a bit of a culture. In a lot of other places, there's a culture of where people after work will go and hang out at a place for a couple of hours, and then go home. Or go out to a movie or go and do other things. Whereas we don't have that kind of culture so much. We have a go to work, go home kind of culture.
Gray says, 304s everywhere. Gareth, check out the Whatever Dating podcast. It is enlightening. Modern dating is tough. And Janae says, my daughter of 16 told me that she would rather grow old alone.
Oh, no.
Boys in school bragging about girls they've slept with and the type of girls they go for. Pumlani says, at 37 years old, I understand why Leo DiCaprio rotates them in their 20s. Debbie says, thank God, Debbie, standing up for the old school here. I've been married for 20 years, says Debbie. Listen to your show on the radio for many years. Today, found it again. We have no phone at the table policy. My kids will call you out. And I have a teen and a tween.
Oh, nice.
Good for you.
Boundaries. Talk to each other. Talk to each other.
Develop that skill. I'm telling you now, you will never be successful if you don't know how to talk to people.
Speaking of talking to people, I watched an interview yesterday with Larry King where he was being interviewed. And he talks about how, for him, just the joy of talking to people is what's allowed him to have so much success in his career. You know, just the joy of talking to people and explaining things and really, really fascinating interview. I don't know. Just
right, he's dead now, poor me. There's no point in bringing up Larry King, but thanks. Thanks for depressing us. Lizard man, Larry King.
Steve says, touching 60, still single, never married, no kids. It's okay to be alone.
It is okay to be alone.
Of course it's okay.
As long as you're happy. And no one can determine that but you. And you could also be self-deluded, but I doubt it.
Self-deluded?
You know, I mean, there are people who convince themselves that something that is not true is true. There are. But I think if you are genuinely unhappy, then you must admit to that and fix it. No point going through life with unhappiness and misery and regrets.
Oh no!
Get on with it. If you're in a situation like Steve, where you're approaching 50, 60 years old, and you haven't yet got married, and you think you want to, make the decision.
There's so much happening now in the world that if you're cool with your own company, you can totally be just absolutely happy, absolutely all right, without having the need of like another person, because you can, because there's so many things to do. You don't need to entertain or be entertained by someone else.
Well, Lucozzi says, it doesn't seem like relationships are a thing anymore. And Huge Reaction says, you don't have to be in a relationship. Don't feel pressured. Although in my opinion, it's usually the fairer sex who feel the need for relations, body clocks, need for mothering, etc. I don't think that's true. For example, if you look at older women, when their husband dies, they're fine. They're fine. Please, guys, don't get ahead of yourselves. If you die before your wife, she'll be fine. Carry on. In fact, a lot of widows who I know
are having a much more grand time.
Very happy. They don't have this fucking lummox that they haul around with them and slows them down. But if the woman dies before the man,
that's a pitiful sight.
It's a sad situation. So, guys, yes, maybe when you're younger, you feel like you're the one who isn't as needy. You don't tell me that when you're 70 plus. It's not going to happen. Dear Linda says, 63, married for 31 years, got divorced 2 years ago. I'm living alone, so happy right now. That's me. Love my alone life. Okay, good. Good. No one's saying this is bad.
You know what else in the alone life? You get to pick what is on TV every night.
You watch TV.
You get to pick what's on TV. You get to pick what's, if the TV is on or off. You get, when you're reading, when you're, oh man. I'm just saying.
Luando says, sad reality. Today we are too much on our phone, forgetting that phones display virtual reality. Looks like we're in love with virtual reality's world-ish. Yeah. A lot of people's virtual life is way better than their actual life. That's another sad reality. Like if you're not experiencing the real world and your Instagram life looks great, that doesn't mean you're happy. And Canthan brings up something amazing here. He says he's listening to us from Harare, by the way, this morning. A recent study revealed the surprising result. The thing most men find attractive in a woman is that she's happy. If you're not already a happy person, don't expect me to fix that. This is an amazing thing. And I'm so glad that we can end this hour on a positive note, because there are very few things that I find more attractive than someone who's just genuinely ebullient and loves life and is bouncing around every day full of positivity and optimism. Yeah. It is a very attractive quality.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not alone. And there are those people who just have not chosen to be happy in their lives.
I think everyone wants to be around a person like that.
Yeah.
A person who's just joyful.
Yes.
That's who you want to be around.
Yes.
That's much lighter energy.
Spot on. Being in love and doing life with someone is not a bad thing. Human connection is beautiful. Quite right, Lucozzi. Marco says, I love this topic of discussion. Sis Pumi, TV will rot your brain with slippery pickle. being in love. Yes. Listen, I think that's beautiful. I think if you are happy, you go and do you. When Pumi and I are going to have no problem with you at all. If you're unhappy, sort your shit out. Okay?
Yeah.
A lot of sympathy here on this show this morning.
Yeah, we love you. We love you.
Well, we have...
We're continuing that theme. You see, we're not confined to the 14th of February.
No, we're not. We can do this even outside of the month of love. All right, so coming up in the Burning Platform next, we're going to talk to the Reverend Kenneth Meshwe, who we've had on the show before, but we haven't spoken to for some time. Mm. I'm excited to speak to him. He will be joining us. Of course, he's the leader of the ACDP, the African Christian Democratic Party. That's coming up next. This is CliffCentral.com. It is a Thursday morning. Up and Adam will be back with a whole lot of very cool stuff. CliffCentral.com.